Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast, where you will get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside of legal nurse consulting. They will share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with 30 years experience. So, join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's Pat.
This is Legal Nurse Podcast, and I am Pat Iyer. Today, I'm going to be introducing you to Kristen Steiner, who is a legal nurse consultant who's going to share some of the explorations that she went through in discovering more about this field and getting started. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thank you so much. Glad to be on.
First, let's start with what attracted you to legal nurse consulting?
Well, I've always been the type of nurse where during nursing school, I enjoyed more of the care plan aspect, school aspect of nursing, as opposed to the clinical side. One of my passions has always been forensics and legal aspects in life. And so one of the things that I really wanted to start doing when my daughters, I stopped working in the clinical side when my daughters were young and my husband left the Marine Corps. So I needed something that I could do from home where I wasn't leaving my children. And so, you know, I was doing some research online and I found that there was actually a career that combines my love of legal topics and in a way forensics because of, you know, you're documenting and you're researching. And then also with the nursing background. So what I started doing is I just started researching more about the program and what the job entails. And this is for me. I love it. So I just, you know, wanted to learn more and figured out that this is exactly kind of the job that I'm looking for. So.
And what was your clinical background before you went into legal nurse consulting?
Well, because my husband was in the Marine Corps, we had a lot of moves to different hospitals. Mm-hmm. So during that time, I kind of took that as an opportunity to, you know, experience different fields of nursing. I started out in postpartum. Then I went to the intensive care unit, to interventional radiology, and then to the post-anesthesia care unit. And after that, that's when I left off and stayed home with my daughters and then started my research into legal nurse consulting.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about the interventional radiology because that's an area that doesn't come up a lot in terms of liability, but I know of cases that came into my company involving people who fell in particular. I remember that as being the basis of several cases, or IV injuries with dye that was extravasating. Could you tell us a little bit about the role of the nurse in the interventional radiology department?
Well, definitely. Well, mine was kind of a particular case because I was working at an outpatient vein clinic. It was where we did procedures for sclerotherapy or for varicose vein treatments. Mm. But then there was also an aspect where we had patients who were dealing with a multiple sclerosis diagnosis. And so we did some procedures, you know, to help block, if there was some veins that were blocked. And, you know, it's kind of like not experimental because obviously there had been studies on it and there was procedures for it. But we did a lot of everything in the unit. And because it was an outpatient situation, we had to do a lot of admitting and discharge education. So, my role in that situation was very unique because it was a feeling where you are at like a more of a cosmetic situation. But then after that, then I might leave to go into the room to help with conscious sedation treatments. So it was across the board, you know, very unique. I didn't stay there very long. Again, we had a move. So that's when I moved down for the PACU. But during the time, it was very interesting. It was a lot of different roles that I had to do.
And what would you say would be the unique liability risks associated with that type of environment from the nursing perspective?
Well, especially when you're in an outpatient clinic setting, there's a lot of different responsibilities you have. You have to admit these patients. You're not in a hospital setting where you have something goes wrong, where you can call a code blue and somebody, the code blue team comes and helps. If there was a situation that happened, you were there with the physician. And at sometimes it was only the two of you. So you would have to, if something went wrong, then you had to go through a lot more steps to get that patient care. And then the other aspect is that you are doing a lot of experimental procedures. Obviously these patients have, agreed and they've been educated on it. And this is something that they're looking for to maybe help with their symptoms. So in the aspect, the fact that you're there with just the physician, not in a hospital setting, doing outpatient procedures, it was a little bit nerve-wracking. So I think that there could be a lot of liability in the fact that you have, steps that couldn't have been taken because it's just the two of you, or the mm-hmm. fact that you're doing something that, something could go wrong, and what do you do? So again, I think that for me, there is so much that you have to be focused on and prepare for a lot of different situations. And I think that, during my clinical side, because I did have a lot of experience in different units, you pick up on the little nuances that could go wrong, and you have to kind of think ahead. So if you don't do that, there is a lot of liability that could come along with it. Mm-hmm. So.
Reminds me of something that my mother told me. She went to nursing school and started the year after I did. So we both graduated within a couple of weeks of each other. And she worked in the ER and then she got a job in a physician's office. And she said, Pat, when it's just you and the doctor, if you don't do something, it's pretty obvious who is responsible for not doing it. There's no anonymity or no way to hide and say, it was the other shift or it was the nurse down the hall, or it was a higher level of accountability than she had experienced before.
Absolutely. It definitely is. And you, especially when it's your, the location that we were at was in, an outpatient shopping center where he had the physician's office there and the procedure room was there. So, if anything happened, we had a grocery store downstairs. So it was a lot of responsibility and a lot of, preparedness of thinking what could go wrong and to kind of prevent it from happening. So absolutely right.
I have never worked in a shopping center. That would be a first for me. Go pick up your milk and get your veins done on the way home.
Exactly. It was good for lunch break.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Well, you mentioned earlier that it was the forensic aspects of legal nurse consulting that you found appealing. Did your perspective change once you got involved? In other words, was it what you expected it to be before?
Definitely. I think, I've only been doing this for 3 years now. Things are starting to pick up a little bit more. Recently, now that COVID's over and law firms are opened up again. So most of my experience is coming, I would say, this year. And, one of the things that I really enjoy the most about kind of finding my niche in legal nurse consulting, and one of the things that I really enjoy is I do enjoy document review. You could send me 27,000 pages of records and I will comb through those records with eagle eye focus. For me, I really truly enjoy looking and making sure things were done and seeing if there was information that's missing. to me, it's kind of like a giant puzzle. So I do focus more on that aspect of my career, is doing the documentation review and creating the chronological summaries and the review of the hospitalization. So now that I'm kind of getting more comfortable with the different aspects of legal nurse consulting, I feel like I can focus more on what I do really, truly enjoy. I can get charting done and charting review done really quickly, but that doesn't mean that I'm not focused on it. So I've learned to really have an eye for something when I know what to look for. I know where to find it. You can have different hospitals, different clinics that have different charting systems. So, you know, things aren't always the same, but it's become like a giant, almost like you're solving a crime, trying to figure out where this information is here, what happened here, what is missing here. So to me, it does seem like a forensics side for it, where, you know, one of my dream careers was always working to be a detective. You know, that was always my goal in life. So I feel like this is a little bit of safer, less stress than being a detective. But in a way, I'm getting that kind of thrill, in a sense, of being able to solve things. And I really do enjoy that. You know, in nursing school, I loved doing care plans. I could spend hours and hours and hours doing them. I know I was one of the few in my class. But I mean, I feel like this is, in a way, the same thing. You're learning, you're researching, you're documenting, you're trying to find pathways and connect information to make sure it all fits. You know, if something doesn't make sense, well, let me go back and figure out why. And I think having the different experience in different units, I do understand a little bit of the different situations that can arise. So to me, it is. I mean, I do feel like I am, in a way, a detective, and I love it. So. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever met somebody who said that they love doing care plans. That's
great. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would put big poster boards together and I would, you know, attach different documentations and artwork. And I mean, it was fun for me. So, yeah, I was a little strange that way.
I was cleaning out some boxes from a storage unit that we gave up, and I came across some notebooks that I wrote in nursing school in which I was describing patients that I took care of. And it was very strange to go back and revisit that time in my life when I was so intense and serious and concerned about all these little nuances.
Yes, definitely.
But it, you know, in a way, it's the same intensity, Kristen, if you think about it, because the details of a case can make or break it. If you miss something that's significant, you go down the wrong pathway. But when you find that little piece, and many legal nurse consultants talk about this as putting the pieces of the puzzle together, then it completely changes the complexion of what you're looking at.
Absolutely. Yes, it does. And that's, I think, you know, very important, especially when you know what you're looking for. Or, you know, what's at stake. And I think that's incredibly important to know that you're in a situation where, you know, people's lives can be on the line, their licenses on the line, you know, insurance coverage, you know, is on the line. And you have to be focused and you have to enjoy that aspect of finding every little detail, because, you know, for me, when I go in, I don't go in to it knowing like this is what I'm looking for, because that kind of clouds your information. If you know how, what this kind of, it's if you know what the aspect of the outcome of the case could be, that can blind your, you know, you can put blinders on. So what I really want to do is I just treat every single case that I get as what I'm just doing the same thing for every single one, finding every piece of information I can, because if you go in there with judgment, you can maybe not see something, or you can focus so much on something to prove this or disprove this. So for me, it's a matter of just having every piece of information and then you let the attorneys do with what, you know, what they need with it. You know, you don't want, I don't go in there biased at all. I know what my goal is, and I know what I'm looking for, and I make sure that's all there. And I think that's really important to be very, very focused on, you know, getting every piece of information and not going in there with kind of a one-sided view of what this case is for. Because, you know, if you're thinking that there could be a situation where you're trying to find if was there medical malpractice in there, was there something was wrong, then you might miss information that shows, no, it was actually okay. You know, it was just really documented here. So you really just have to always be focused and find every piece of information. And to me, that is kind of more of the forensics aspect of it, is you can't go in there thinking of what you're looking for. You have to just find it all. So.
Let's take you back now to you got interested in the field. How did you investigate the ways to gather the knowledge that you needed in order to be able to start a business?
Before we continue with the show, I'd like to share this special announcement with you.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Business, and I'm delighted to bring to you John Anthony Bachnowitz. John and I have connected as a person with special expertise in working with men and women who are caught up in the issue of and the concern and problem of domestic violence. John is going to be one of the speakers at our Domestic Violence Conference, June 9th and 10th, 2022. And we invited him into the program because there's often a lot of question of, all right, domestic violence is here. How do we reduce it, eliminate it, unlearn that behavior? John, welcome to this conversation.
Thank you, Pat. Glad to be here.
You know, one of the things that the legal system does, and we know as legal nurse consultants, this is true, that we arrest the perpetrator and put him in jail. Tell me from your perspective as somebody who is a counselor, why is that a dead end or ineffective solution to the problem?
Well, I think that, you know, let me just say that sometimes people have done such horrific things that that's what they need, you know, to get their attention, that it's not okay. But I think some of the problems are, is that as a society, we don't intervene to help the potential perpetrator soon enough, because the only recourse we have is to put them in jail. So we almost have to wait until they really do something that we can nail them for. But then the victim ends up having to put up with some things, and it could be dangerous. The other problem with just putting them in jail is that oftentimes that couple wants to stay together. And if, as a society, we don't help that abusive person to understand what are the dominoes that are falling before their act of violence that are going on for them, so they can see what's really at the root of their violence and what they can do to alleviate that, then we're kind of setting them up that every time they get in a particular situation that they're going to resort to something that they taught themselves as a young child, because acting out and hitting is something that two-year-olds learn how to do as a way of trying to cope with their fear of losing something that they have or not getting something that they desire. And if we don't help a person to understand what's going on for them before the violence, then we're not really helping them to be successful. And the thing that they really need help with is to be able to identify that when they're angry, what they're really feeling is fear. And it's the fear of losing something that they have, or the fear of not getting something they desire. It doesn't have anything to do necessarily with physical safety fear for the perpetrator. So I think that when we can learn how to help that person as a society, to help that person to be able to identify those fears, and then what I've found to be helpful is to give them the skill of being able how to give love to themselves. in the form of respect, understanding, acceptance, caring, appreciation, and trust. When they give that love to themselves, see, then they don't have to resort and turn their fear to anger. Because what people are really trying to do that I've worked with, and I've been doing this for 40 years, is they're trying to make somebody else give them that respect, understanding, acceptance, caring, appreciation, and trust. That's why they're being abusive to them or violent, because they, I want you to respect me, or I want you to understand, accept what I'm going through, or care, appreciate, or trust what I'm going through, but it doesn't help them. So that's one reason, or maybe a long reason, why just putting them in jail isn't really enough.
Well, you brought up something that I find intriguing, John, because it seems from the logical part of my brain, which is pretty dominant, that if I want you to love and respect and trust me, the answer is not to punch you or break your bones or bruise you or burn you or do any of the violent things. So can you tell us a little bit more about where does that thought process come from and how do you break it? Because it just, as a logical being, it's creating trouble in my brain understanding that.
Well, I think that when it comes, you know, when you look at it, logic isn't something that a violent person is using.
True.
They're reacting to emotional pain that oftentimes they aren't even aware that they have, because they're so used to trying not to pay attention to their feelings. And they're so used to trying to control things outside of themselves that they don't even realize that there are things going on internally that they aren't being aware of consciously. Now, their body, their being is aware of what's going on, but that's why it's reacting the way it is, because it's reacting from that amygdala part of the brain that, you know, when we it's important, you know, when we're really in a life-threatening situation, you know, to be able to fight, flight, or freeze. But it doesn't allow us to use the thinking part of the brain so we can come up with a creative way of understanding things. And I think that while we all want love in our life, very few of us know how to give love to themselves. You know, we can say, yeah, I love myself, or yeah, I buy this and I do that and I have fun. And but they don't know how to respect themselves or to respect others. They don't know how to understand themselves or understand others, or to accept or care, appreciate, or trust themselves, let alone to be able to give it to others. So, you know, one of the things that I'll be going over in the talk is there's a diagram that I'll show that what happens is that when we have emotional pain, we are trying to use that anger as a way of trying to make somebody else give that to us. And we don't even realize that that's what we're doing. We're just doing it because I want you to do what I want you to do. And when you're doing that, see, then you're going to be giving me respect and understanding and acceptance, caring, appreciation, and trust. But what we don't see is that at that same time, I'm not giving myself any of that either. So when a person learns how to give it to themselves, then they don't have to control that other person to get it, you know? And it's like being in a dark room and wanting somebody else to turn the light on. And they say, no, I don't want to, or they don't know how or whatever. And then we get into a fight as I try to make them turn the light on, when I can just as easily turn the light on myself. But we don't realize that we can give that love to ourselves. And
well,
so when I've,
I can tell we're going to have a lot to speak about at the conference. The link for the conference is lnc.tips/DV. And that is a domestic violence conference for legal nurse consultants, June 9th and 10th. John Anthony is one of our speakers and will be sharing his perspective as a person who works with individuals who are struggling with this need to come up with better solutions for violence. Please sign up for the conference and we'll see you there.
Now let's return to the show.
Well, to be honest, I bought most of your books. And I, you know, during the time that I started, you know, money was tight. So, you know, going and paying thousands of dollars for a course was not in the budget for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm stay-at-home mom, homeschooling my daughters. And, you know, so I found every piece of information I could online with your books. I would go on Amazon and I would find information. Then I went on the AALNC website, and instead of taking the course, the full course, I would take as many classes as I could. You know, so I feel like there's a way for you to be successful at this career and to not stress out financially, saying, I have to take this thousands and thousands of dollar course and money's tight and I need a career. How do I change my careers if I can't even afford the course? Well, you definitely can. You know, what your basis of legal nurse consulting is your knowledge in the field, your experience. So to be able to find different ways to, you know, learn how to set up a website, learn how to, you know, review documents, to learn, you know, take a class online. You know, there's a lot of courses even through the nurse.com or, you know, different online school programs might have some information regarding maybe the legal aspects or legal terminology. There's so many different ways that you can hone your skills and not spend a whole lot of money to do it. But to be your books were the most helpful and beneficial for me, that and the ALMC website. So for me, again, it was kind of like putting a puzzle together for my education and researching as much as I can from different aspects, different websites, different books, and put it all together.
And then how did you get your first case?
Well, so I set up my website, I got all of my information ready, and I sent cards out, emails through LinkedIn. I just reached out, promoted my website on Facebook. I promoted my site on Instagram. I created an Instagram account. So what I did, and I think what's important for especially new legal nurse consultants, since I am, you know, relatively new myself compared to you and many others, is to, if at all possible, I think it's very important to take the, if you can have somebody, maybe it's not, your pay is not exactly what you're wanting, but if you can find a way to have experience and learn by, you know, doing a few, you know, cases, or maybe just doing documentation review for a law firm until you feel comfortable. I think that's, it's great. And, you know, you're starting a new business. So to be able to maybe say, okay, well, maybe this is not the pay that I want exactly, but it's experience that I can get. So to me, I started out and I took a small case where I could just review the documents and I could, you know, make information for the attorney and say, what does this information mean? What does this terminology mean? Can you please go through this chart and, you know, tell me what these abbreviations, because there's tons of abbreviations in charting. Mm-hmm. So the little things that you could do to hone your skills and get experience and confidence, take it. I know, you know, it's very hard, especially nowadays. You know, everybody's wanting to make sure that they're getting paid for their experience and their education. But if you feel like you're not able to start and you're not getting a case and you're not getting what you want, take something small, get that experience, make yourself, you know, where you can have samples of your work to redact that information, to be able to help send out. I think that's very important. So for me, it did help financially just because I was already not working. So taking another hit financially wasn't that big of a deal. But for me, it was just very important to be able to feel comfortable going out and saying, this is what I can do. How can I help? This is my experience. How can I help? And, you know, since then, things have started to pick up because I have that experience and I have samples that I can use. So I think that's really important.
And how would you say you're getting most of your clients now?
Well, right now, because I am, you know, homeschooling my daughter still, my goal was to kind of have more steady work coming in. So now I'm working for a life care planner, mm-hmm. Doing medical review for that and creating summaries of long-term patient stays. So that to me has worked out because I'm able to continuously have cases come in and be able to work mm-hmm. when I can. Luckily, I like to get things done fast. So I'll get it done. And then I have the ability to continue to homeschool my daughters. So I think that for me, being able to find a situation where I'm employed as a contractor, independent contractor, and I have that continuous work come in has been great, especially in the stage of life I'm at right now. You know, summer's coming up. I have two young daughters. So for me, I'm satisfied and I'm very happy with doing what I'm doing right now. Maybe when school starts again, I'll start reaching out more again to different attorneys, different law firms. But right now, you know, I'm very happy with the work that I'm doing and it's constant work and it's continuous. So I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm not sure all of our viewers understand the pieces of how this works together. People who've gone through life care planning programs can subcontract, as you're describing, to a legal nurse consultant to do the medical record review, to summarize the hospitalizations and the diagnoses and the treatments. Mm-hmm. And then the life care planner can also subcontract to another person the analysis of the data, figuring out how much that handicapped van is going to cost and how often it has to be replaced, and the wheelchairs and the therapy. And then the life care planner puts the whole thing together in the written plan. So what you're describing is the piece of providing that medical foundation for then determining what the needs are of the person as they progress through their lifetime.
Exactly. And for me, I feel like, you know, there's so many different aspects of legal nurse consulting that you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, my experience isn't extensive enough where I feel where, oh no, I'd be a great expert witness. There's so many different aspects of legal nurse consulting that's so wonderful that you can find your what you really enjoy. And for me, because I do enjoy documentation review and I do love typing, you know, 80-page summaries of long-term hospital stay. That's enjoyable to me. You know, breaking down information. What does this mean? Painting a picture of for these patients and the trauma that they experienced and what they've gone through. To me, I love doing that and I feel a passion for it and I feel like it's so important. So that's what's so nice about, you know, being able to do this job is there's so many different aspects that you can do. And so many different routes you can take that fit your personality, that fit your education background, that fit your skills, that fit your knowledge base. I mean, there's so much that you can do. And I think that's what's wonderful about being comfortable and trying new things. And then, you know, if later in life, if this is what you enjoy doing, you can keep doing this and you have a wonderful income coming in. You have a wonderful career. So there's so many different aspects. So if you feel like, well, you know, I get nervous, I don't want to speak in court, or, oh, I love legal nurse consulting, but, oh, you know, I don't like typing things. Well, there's so many different things that you can do. And I just think that that's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're listening and you're wondering, oh gosh, I'm not good at this, or I'm not good at this. There's so many different routes that you can take and, different careers that you, different career pathways you can have with the legal nurse consulting. So to don't give up, don't get afraid. You'll find it.
I think that's a great point, Kristen, because there is so much diversity and many people come in to Legal Nurse Consulting thinking, oh, it's all about medical malpractice cases and the standards of care and finding experts. But it's so much more than that.
Yeah. So much more. Yeah. And it is. You're right. There's so much more. And you know, you can, and what's nice about that is you can have a focus of where I really enjoy doing this. But if somebody says, well, can you help me figure this part out? Well, you can do that as well. So you're never just stuck to the one just task. You have many different tasks you can take, and you have different avenues that you can meet with different people and different experiences and different backgrounds. And to me, it's just, it's like being able to be a charge nurse for every unit in a hospital. I mean, that's what it feels like. It would be, and to me, that's what it feels like, is you're getting to do so many different things. So I love it.
I was talking to a woman on Friday. She was telling me about her niece who was retiring and was a registered nurse. And she thought that she would be good working with attorneys. And she was asking me, what is the field of legal nurse consulting? And what do you need to do to be successful? And I explained that there were many different avenues, but the commonality is that the successful legal nurse consultants are the people with great communication skills. They're detail oriented. They like solving the pieces of the puzzle. It's funny how you brought that up 2 days later as the phrase. And they enjoy working with the details of a case. I had an employee for a brief time who had difficulty. She was a registered nurse. She had difficulty organizing medical records. And I thought that it would be so easy for her to be able to do this, but she wasn't detail oriented enough to be able to look at the chart and figure out what type of record she was looking at. And without that skill, she couldn't manage in the field. So she and I mutually came to a decision that this was not the best career path for her. You have to be able to focus on the details to be successful in this field.
Absolutely. And I think that, especially, you know, as somebody recent, if you're recently out of a clinical setting, or if you're still working as a clinical nurse and you're wanting to do this on the side, it's funny because if you're reading charts and you're viewing it as if you were the nurse and you were charting it, and how would you do it? And what would you document? What care would you have? And that helps, I think, you're able to focus and pinpoint a little bit better if you think kind of like a care plan. If you, instead of just looking at it as a chart, view it as the patient, view it as the situation, and it will get easier, because then you're seeing it not just a bunch of pages that you have to go through and trying to figure out, oh, because you'll see coding here and then there's billing here. You focus on what you can and that knowledge, you know, it will come to you easily, I promise. Yeah.
Do you have any passing last comments of advice to somebody who is just getting started in this field?
I think the main thing is that don't sell yourself short. What you're selling, what your business is your experience, is your knowledge. And, you know, I know a lot of people will say, oh gosh, you know, I don't know any attorneys, or, oh, I'm not a business owner. I don't know how to do it. Well, I was a stay-at-home mom for a good portion, you know, after stopping my clinical work. And, you know, the thing is that you have extensive knowledge in your field, and, you know, be comfortable saying, okay, well, I'm going to figure out how to put a web page together. I'm going to feel confident knowing that, okay, I haven't done a case. If I'm a new LNC, I haven't done a case yet. Well, that's okay, because you've been a nurse for how long? You've been a NP for how long? So to not be afraid, not be intimidated, because you're really truly just selling your experience and your knowledge. And all that other little details you can figure out, play around with, you know, find a way, go to Wix. I like Wix for web pages to figure that out and pull that information. It's easy to do. And then, you know, find as many different websites, take courses on, you know, the AALNC website, read your books. There's so many different things that you can do. Take a course if you can afford it, take a course. But to not just not feel like you're not going to be capable of doing something, that you need to have this gigantic certification and you need to have how many hours? No, because really you are selling your knowledge as a nurse, and the rest will all come together. So just be confident in yourself and it'll come together.
That's a great message to end this webcast.
Thank you.
Can you tell our listener how they can find out more about you and the services that you offer?
Well, I do have a website, and I'll say it now, but it's www.knsnurseconsulting.com. And my Facebook page, I have an Instagram page as well. So you can go reach me on that or on LinkedIn. I have different avenues, and that's, again, another fun aspect of legal nurse consulting is there's so many different ways to promote: LinkedIn, websites, Facebook, Instagram, emailers. You can do it all. So there's no, you know, stopping you once you figure it out.
And just to be clear on the spelling of Kristen's name, it's K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Steiner, S-T-I-N-E-R.
Great. Yes.
All right, Kristen, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you.
On the Legal Nurse Podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And for you who's been listening to this on our audio channels, please be sure to leave a review. Give us a thumbs up, assign a star, put some comments in about the value of the program for you, and be sure to come back for our next show in a week with a new guest, new topic. Thanks so much. My name is Pat Iyer, and I'm speaking with Anne Marie Heury. We've just been talking about the topic of stress and how that affects you as a legal nurse consultant, as a healthcare professional. Anne Marie developed an interest in this when she became a caretaker for her parents and then has developed a practice and expertise in stress management. What were some of the topics that we covered in your podcast, Anne Marie?
I think, first of all, we acknowledge that nurses, whether it's the legal profession or on the floor of a nursing home, are stressed. And it's so important for us to take care of our own stress. Otherwise, we end up in trouble and we could have illness that lasts a lifetime. We also talked about a couple of quick techniques that can be used. We spoke about keeping things in perspective, that we can control our emotions and we're the only ones who can do that, and how we can do that with some of the techniques that, whether it be laughter or breathing or quick little meditations that we can incorporate into our lives moment to moment, even in the workplace. And I think we just talked about some of the stresses that we do have when we're working that we can't control, outside people who may be disrespect us or don't honor the people that we are, and how we can hold our own. And I think we spoke about, understanding that we can control things through music, through sound bowl therapy, through laughter. There are so many things that we can do that it's not all about, you know, like, oh, I have to wrap myself up in a pretzel all day long or meditate and do yoga. There are things you can do from moment to moment.
We covered a lot, as you can tell. So be sure to get Anne Marie Heury's podcast and come away with some techniques, some perspective, some tips on dealing with the stress that you have in your life.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Join our community to get notified of each new episode and to receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. We appreciate you and your interest.